Thanks for listening to the Shift Your Spirits podcast. I'm your host, Slade Robertson. For over 11 years, I've been a professional intuitive and the author of the blog Shift Your Spirits, where I try to write about spirituality with fewer hearts and flowers than most New Age blather. I also mentor emerging intuitives, psychics, and healers in a program called Automatic Intuition. It's Saturday, January 13th, 2018, as I record this. Today, I am talking about getting rid of goals and replacing them with systems. It's a mindset shift. And it happens to be one of my rambly episodes, which a bunch of you claim to enjoy. So those of you who have written to say you like the unscripted episodes where I just talk about something like I might be having coffee with you, this episode is that format. And I'm trying my best not to apologize for it. Sometimes I get into the trap of thinking that this format is easier. You just hit record and talk. You don't have to type out the transcript first. Just sit down and turn the equipment on and express your opinions. But it's not easier. It's actually harder. There are way more inhibitions involved, and perfectionism definitely rears its head. I end up doing like 40 takes of something that's supposed to be spontaneous. And you may not realize how much of what you hear me speaking on this show is scripted, with ums and pauses performed so you think I'm just chatting off the top of my head. The thing is, if I can get to the point where I channel that really comfortably, it would be easier and even more authentic and allow me to produce more. And I would like to be able to dictate fiction to increase my word count as well. It's something I am thinking about trying this year. This is something that I am attempting to be better at. You can tell me if you hate it. Just say something compassionate and constructive like, I really appreciate your well-scripted narrative solo episodes. Something else I've been meaning to tell you guys, based on things you write to me concerning the podcast, one of the things a lot of you tell me on Facebook in particular is that the Oracle message for a given episode really spoke to you, which I love to hear. I'll post an episode, and in the comments, someone will say, great episode, you know, et cetera, et cetera. The Oracle message was dead on for me this week. And I'm like, yay, that's awesome. But here's the thing. I do not remember the Oracle messages. I don't. I have to go check and see what it was. The Oracle is the last thing I record when I put together a show. So I rarely hear it more than once, like I do with, say, the interview segments, which I listen to sometimes multiple times. And the Oracle messages sort of run together in my mind. Like, I feel like I'm always kind of saying the same thing, but I can't tell you what that is exactly. I'm pretty confident that they are truly channeled. Channeling is a unique thing. It's a specific kind of psychic practice. It's different from readings and creative improvisation, and it's definitely different from things I consciously, intentionally choose to say. It's hard to describe. Maybe this is what it was like for the ancient oracles. They try to say that the one at Delphi was hallucinating because of gas in the cave. You know, maybe she was just channeling. It seems to be a thing people do, and it works. So what do you know? I do it now, too. The interesting thing about this is I haven't heard anyone else do an Oracle message at the end of a podcast. The idea to include that segment was so spur of the moment, and it just went from not even being a thought of something I might try to something I just did in the moment and captured it and then decided to keep doing it. So, of course, having said all that, as always, there is an Oracle segment at the end of the show. So be thinking about a question or a concern you may have. Hold it in your mind, and I'll come back on after the final links and credits and leave you with that extra message. Before I forget, I want to say a quick thank you to Christina Salas and Lily Eiler, my newest supporters on Patreon. I appreciate all of you who've pledged your support, and I'm really excited to see the new names each week. It demonstrates that you're enjoying the show and want it to continue. That's very encouraging to me, so thank you. Listeners who support the show on Patreon can access bonus episodes, a guided meditation called Messages from Your Spirit Guides, and there's also a mastery level of support where you can download one of my courses for free each month. This month, the featured course is Manifest Anything, the full audio version plus the ebook. To find out how you can become a patron, support my time in producing this show, and access all the extra bonus content, please go to patreon.com/shiftyourspirits. Okay, on to today's segment. What's the difference between systems and goals? And how might getting rid of the whole concept of goals actually help you become the person you want to be? I've always felt a little rebellious toward the concept of New Year's goal setting. I don't want to undermine it entirely, but I do want to at least tweak it a little bit, make it simpler, more practical, more realistic. 12 years ago, when I first started blogging, I made this big statement about not using the word resolution anymore, because resolution as a word means endings, and our intentions to bring this new energy into our lives and to do something that we want to start and continue on an ongoing basis is much more of an intention than a resolution. Therefore, I made a big point of talking about intentions for the new year. And I hung out at that level of language for a while, all the time kind of offering these simple techniques or different kinds of strategies toward, you know, making your goals a reality. And here's the thing about complicated goal setting. It's real easy to be super busy without necessarily being productive, and it gives you a false sense of satisfaction about accomplishing something related to your goal. So if you have this big elaborate system with vision boards and spreadsheets and mind maps and lists and a, you know, day planner and all that kind of stuff, it makes you feel, as you're planning your goal, like you're actually doing your goal. But you're really not. And that can be a false sense of accomplishment. So what I've always tried to do each year is to offer something to you guys that I feel like is a super simple, dumbed down, idiot proof, no paraphernalia required kind of attempt to get our heads around something that we're trying to crack. So last year, I had a bit of an epiphany about the way that I use quarterly business planning for my business, and realizing that, okay, well, the system that I use for that could actually apply to a lot of other things. And so I wrote a blog post sharing this concept that I had about how you do three actions 3 times a week for 3 months. And that's the way that I plan my quarters in my business. And I sort of put it out there to the world as a challenge for anybody else to try it and see if it worked in their own life, if it was something that, you know, was only working for me, or if it was applicable to others. And so Diana Fragman took me up on that challenge, and she actually created something called the 3x3 Project, and she documented it on her blog. She came on the podcast around the time that I first launched it, and we talked about it. And she's the person who gave it the name, the 3x3 Project, or as I like to think of it now, kind of like a 3x3 strategy or a 3x3 method. There's a whole lot of stuff on our initial episodes where we talk about the importance of why 90 days is better than just doing something for 30 days. So I'll include some links to those episodes if you're interested in going back and kind of understanding the process of the 3x3, because I still think it holds true, and it's kind of my favorite, and it's one that I've been secretly doing in the background, secret from myself, meaning I didn't really realize that it was a system and that it had applicable use to all kinds of things. And now that I've started to think about it that way, I'm pretty happy with it. And it's definitely the one that I continue to use and the one that I'm using now. So it's still very relevant in my opinion. So I'll make those links available to you. But to get back to the point of this little rant, I guess, is systems versus goals. You know what? This year, I've just really been feeling this full-blown kind of FU to the whole New Year's thing. And part of the reason for that is because of what I was talking about in the intro on my last episode about how I think it's kind of an arbitrary thing and it's like the worst time of year, you know, emotionally and mentally to sort of try to necessarily get yourself, you know, geared up and motivated. And also, I'm really aware of the fact that this year that, you know, this one day is not really any different from yesterday. Like the time thing that we impose on this is really kind of irrelevant and actually can be detrimental to the whole idea of being motivated and putting things into action. So anyway, the other thing that I'm running into this year around this whole concept of New Year's intentions and goals and whatever you want to call them is I'm already doing most of the things that I want to do. I just want to continue doing them. And I know this could come across as sounding very douchey, so bear with me. But, you know, I've kind of become some at least small version of myself, and I'm doing the things that I want to do. I just need to do more of it. I need to maintain it now. I'm kind of at a point in the process where I'm not trying to implement something new so much as I'm trying to iterate it, to continue, to do another version and another, and allow it to continue to roll forward and unfold. And I just want to keep driving this thing into the sunset. So the thing I'm having a problem with this year around the concept of goals is I can't come up with any. My goals are all my work. You know, it's what I do. And so what I'm really trying to figure out is, okay, how do I be who I'm being even more than I have been, you know? Language is going to fail me probably on this episode, so I'm just going to try. I don't say any of that to pat myself on the back or make you think that you're less than if you can't say that about yourself or if you're at a different phase with whatever it is that you're trying to do. But here's the thing, from where I'm sitting as someone who's just saying, okay, well, my New Year's goals really are just repeats of last year's goals, but can we tick it up a notch? What I'm finding is that the tactics that are involved in maintaining is different than the tactics that we usually employ when we're starting something out, but the maintaining tactics would actually work from the get-go. So why not just start out maintaining that energy, being that whatever it is that you're trying to do? So why not do the same thing someone who does it often, whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish, is doing? Why not emulate that? Or is there a way, I guess I'm trying to say, is there a way to just sort of plug in directly to the energy of someone who has already done this and been doing it for a while versus starting out from this awkward position that somehow the first time has to be different? Because once you're in it, you realize there are certain challenges that are ongoing. And once you're in the flow and in the stream, you just keep swimming, you know, you just keep going along. So I was thinking about, you know, the areas of my life that go along with New Year's goal setting, and it probably has something to do with my fitness community or with my writing. Those are things that I can pull as examples that other people might want to make New Year's goals out of. And you know, I think about the people who lift weights several times a week, about how we do that because it's sort of part of our lifestyle. It's part of my social life at this point. And it's not because I just started doing it 2 weeks ago and I'm just desperately hoping to like hang on for a month or two longer than I did the last time I tried. I'm not a person who is trying to write their first book. You know, I look at somebody who is writing maybe their 10th book and I'm thinking they're still dealing with the same time management issues and resistance issues as the person who's trying to write their first book. And so what are all these people doing? Because they have to master themselves every day. There's no secret to doing it at their level that doesn't also apply to a beginner. So I think part of the problem is we seriously dork out over things that we're trying to begin. We don't embody the thing that we want to be. We're too afraid of it and too awkward. And, you know, realistically, we haven't done the time yet to where we can feel somewhat comfortable and like less anxious about it. But the will is the same. The will is the big issue, and will is binary. To me, it's either you either turn it on or you don't, but you have it. It's a decision. It's a zero or a one. It's an on or an off. And of course, I have things that I want to do this year, and they're continuations of things that I want and need to do every day. But I don't do to-do lists, okay? Because I think I've come to the conclusion that list making and mind mapping is ideal for identifying what the components are. To me, all that activity that we do around planning for a goal is actually a good diagnostic tool. It's a brainstorming thing for me. Getting really clear about what a process might be or what the ingredients are. And I think the whole spreadsheet kind of concept is really great for tracking what you've already accomplished as an accountability thing, but as a plan of what you're going to execute, like some kind of marching orders, spreadsheets don't translate into real life in the way that you probably thought they would in your head. And I, probably like me, you've done this before. I'm guilty of listing things because I'm afraid of forgetting something important. And it's kind of ridiculous because the things that I feel like I need to write down in a list that are really important are just not things that I'm going to forget about. You know, it's like things I think about every day. I don't need a list that says, oh yeah, think about this. If you don't think about them, they're probably not as important as you think they are. And maybe they don't even belong on a list. And if they're part of some bureaucracy that you're afraid of failing to adhere to, that's probably like a calendar thing. You know, like put those on a calendar with a reminder alert. Pay your quarterly taxes before next week. You know, that kind of thing. Everything else, I think, can be taken care of by the systems that we put in place. So Tim Grawl is the person who first made me aware that I do this, thing called systems versus goals. And it's something that he teaches people. And I was patting myself on the back when I first heard him talk about it, because I thought, oh yeah, yeah, that's how I do it. But he is the person who put the words together for me in a real succinct way, systems versus goals. And so, you know, what does that mean? Systems versus goals, or systems not goals. It's about being. It's more than just doing an individual project or a task. It's about being the kind of person who does the things that you want to do. It's a nuanced distinction, but hopefully you'll sort of see the difference the more that I talk about it. So my goals, in air quotes, are not really individual things. They kind of span long periods of time, right? Like, I'm not just writing a book. I want to be a writer. I am an author. So it's not just a goal. There is a bunch of systems involved with being an author. I have a lot of friends and people in my workout community who are doing Whole 30 right now, which is a clean eating kind of detox. I won't even bother to butcher what it is because I can't speak about it too specifically without going down a huge rabbit hole here. Look it up if you're interested. Whole 30. But so one of my friends that's doing Whole 30 was talking about how she has this really elaborate junk food goal, which is going to be her reward for the end of the 30 days. And now, part of the problem is she's kind of treating it like a 30-day diet or, you know, like a cleanse or something. And I think that is another rabbit hole issue that I won't go down. But I was kind of like, the thing that struck me when I heard her talking about that is I was like, what the hell? What is the point of that? Why would you do something that's really good and wonderful and kind of extremely wonderful for just 30 days and then stop doing it? Like, nutrition, eating well, feeling good in your physical body, it's one of those far-reaching kind of lifelong examples. It's one of those ongoing things that you want to do and become and embody. You don't just want to eat well for a month. You want to live in wellness forever. So last year at this time, I had the goal of launching a podcast, and that was a new goal. It was definitely a new thing, and I could treat it in a much more classic kind of New Year's intentions fashion. And it was also the first thing that I kind of consciously put out there in the context of the 3x3 method. So that was my 3x3 goal for the first 3 months of the year. But beyond that, you know, it quickly became something that I will do indefinitely. So, you know, it's not a goal anymore. It requires a system. So what system can you create so that the natural, inevitable result of doing it is that some of the things other people call goals or items on their to-do lists get done? You know, like, plus think about the fact that these are all things that you want to enjoy while you're doing them, right? So you want to enjoy eating well and working out and working on your art and doing meaningful work in the world. So stop thinking of that kind of stuff as goals, because if you do execute them as goals and you're successful at it, you will quickly achieve them and pass that mile marker. And then what happens? Well, you have to maintain them in an ongoing fashion, and that requires a system. An author who's already achieved the goal of writing a book writes another, and then they write another one. They have a system in place for doing all that, and the byproduct of their system as an author is that books get written and published and put out into the world. So why not, instead of thinking about these goals, just focus on the system that would be involved in maintaining these goals? Start with creating that first. Make that the actual beginning point, not just the, okay, I've made it through the beginning stage and now I'm into intermediate, because the same thing that you need to do at the intermediate and advanced level is the same thing you need to do to start it. So it's where you want to end up anyway. It's the next phase of what you would typically call a goal. So let's just make the first phase the system. What system of actions or lifestyle can you put in place to sort of live the persona you want to be? You want to be an author. You want to be a healthy person. You want to be a business owner, a musician, an advocate, a leader. You're already everything you've wanted to become. There's nothing to bring in. It's less about what you do and more about who you are. So be the behavior, the thought, the spirit, the embodiment. The actions, the things you execute, are just naturally what happens when you become something, when you become someone who executes those actions. If you become the writer inside you with those systems in your life, you will inevitably write books and articles and songs and put them out into the world. And the same is true of anything that you might have called a goal in the past. Systems are really about time, I think, if we boil it down. At least for me personally, time is the one thing that we all have to contend with. I'm sure we could have an interesting conversation about the construct of time, etc. But days are passing and you're living in them, and you probably have some notion about how you want to feel and who you want to spend that time with and how you'd like it to pass. I love my work. My work is an exhalation. And I love my downtime. And that's the inhalation. Those are biological rhythms. They're natural rhythms. And so what I do is I build systems into those rhythms that are related to time. I don't make a list of what happens in those systems. I live them when they show up, when we reach that particular stretch of the rhythm, when we reach that verse in the song. It's like a passage of music. In the afternoon, there will be a solo. And I don't know what that solo will be. Maybe I have an inkling that today feels like it might be a flute solo, and I don't plan it out. I might think about it in some background place in my mind. But when the time comes, the time that I've established in the system, I just jam out on the flute. It's hard to articulate with metaphors. That was an attempt at like a music metaphor. Because I'm talking about actual real stuff here. I'm not talking about abstract concepts. I mean, there's a nuanced abstraction in the idea of being something versus doing something. But this is the way that I live and work and rest and play and have relationships and all that stuff. So it's not a list of goals. It's a bunch of systems. Say, for example, Wednesday and Friday mornings are for the podcast. And what I mean by that is I might be interviewing someone. I might be editing a show I've already recorded. I might be brainstorming ideas. I might be sending Facebook messages to people that I'd like to come on the show. There's a system there, but it's really just the time that I've set aside. And within that time, I can do any number of things. And I don't have those written down somewhere. I just do them as they appear to me. They present themselves. It's kind of hard to miss out. Afternoons for me are for writing. So every day, 2:30 to 4:30, I'm actually someone else. I have an entire system for another part of myself. I'm Eric Slade, and he writes fiction, and he works on fiction at that time of day. That's his system. Some days he's drafting words. Some days he's editing something that's already in another stage. Some days he's pulling his hair out, and he's journaling about being stuck in a story and trying to find a solution for a certain scene. There will be a phase when the writing requires other professionals to work on it, and I might be communicating with them. There's a phase where it will require marketing, and that's its own bunch of stuff. But those things will happen between 2:30 and 4:30 because that's the system for being a fictional author. I don't know how much my personal examples are helpful to you, or if you get a sense of what I mean about setting up systems that are bigger than the goals. The systems are just easier to think about. They're more organic, and they can be more forgiving. They allow for more fluctuation. So what if you're sick one Thursday at 2:30 and you have to go to the doctor? It's not a goal to just write on Thursday. There's a system to write every day. So you don't really F it up that bad. Your failures get absorbed with a lot less psychological damage in a system. I'm kind of wondering how to end this conversation, you know, to leave you with a bit of actionable intelligence so that you can go from the conceptual of what I'm babbling about to actually practically applying this in some way. So I think what I want you to do is try this, okay? Take one of the things formerly known as a goal. Ask yourself, what is a small unit of action that's required to produce that goal? For example, writing 1,000 words every day or walking for weight loss. It's usually something fairly simple, and it's something that can be repetitive. Now ask yourself, what kind of time is required to execute that action? It takes 90 minutes to write 1,000 words, 45 minutes to walk 3 miles. Find a time slot for that activity. And then remember the 3x3 strategy. 3 actions, 3 times a week for 3 months. So find 3 time slots. At that point, you know, it's about showing up and doing it. Whatever part of it that particular moment allows or requires, it's just about the system of the time you've set aside. You are someone who is healthy and fit. You are a writer who produces articles and books. You become that person as an inevitable result of the system that you put into place. Someone who writes 90 minutes a day is a writer. Someone who walks 45 minutes a day is a fitness-minded person. Go ponder that some more and then do it. And let me know if the system works better for you than the goal. And if you're stumped, send me an email with your goal and I'll see if I can turn it into a system for you or give you a couple of ideas about how you might. If I get a few good ones, I'll do a follow-up episode. Thanks again for listening to the Shift Your Spirits podcast. For show notes, links, and all the past episodes, please visit shiftyourspirits.com. You can subscribe in iTunes or Stitcher or whatever app you use to access podcasts. If you'd like to get an intuitive reading with me or download a free ebook and meditation to help you connect with your guides, please go to sladeroberson.com. And if you're interested in my professional intuitive training program, you can start the course for free by downloading the attunement at automaticintuition.com. Before I go, I promise to leave you a message and answer to a question or a concern you may have. So take a moment to think about that. Hold it in your mind or speak it out loud. I'll pause for just a few seconds right now. Your instincts open paths for you. Magical shifting paths that appear out of nowhere when you treat your thoughts and impulses as instructions for action. If you think about going somewhere, go. If it occurs to you to check in with someone, call them. If you wonder what's down that street, turn and go see. If your path seems to be emerging too slowly, maybe it's just a matter of patience. You can hack your way through with a machete, but it's more work than waiting and listening for the next step to appear. You're going to be on this road for a while. Explore a little bit along the way, and I'll talk to you later.